This is an Enterprise Times business podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Michel Paulin from OVH.
I'm Michel Paulin. I'm the CEO of OVH. I joined the company for a month ago. In fact, I had my nearly entire career, except one exception, which is McKinsey as a consulting in the IT and in the telecom market. And I had the chance and the challenge to have some private to public IPO initiatives, and I loved it. I've been then working on this scheme for a few years.
You've twice taken private companies to IPO. You're now working with OVH, another big growing private company, particularly in the cloud sector. What do you see as the challenges of coming in?
Specifically, what are the challenges for OVH? There are several points, but I just first to say that we have the chance because we are a pure player on the cloud. And the cloud market is great because it's a growing market, and I think it's a long-term market. It's not a fashion, a trendy market. It will last for 10 years, maybe more. For us, it's a great opportunity to create a leader in Europe for the cloud. We are a pure player. Our main challenges are, of course, that in this arena, attracting many players, big names, American names, Chinese names with deep pockets, a lot of investment. One of our challenges is how we are going to continue to grow, continue to invest, continue to innovate, continue to attract talents, to be able to fulfill the Octave vision to be the European leader of the cloud. This is the main challenge. Not easy, but extremely interesting to tackle.
European companies have a problem as they grow, particularly in the tech sector. They either grow incredibly quickly and then they're bought out by American or Chinese companies, or they hit a ceiling, generally around the billion to 2 billion mark, and they just stall out at that point in time. How do you get beyond that to become this challenger that you want to be?
It's a little bit unfortunate. It's clear that today the track record of independent European tech leaders are not numerous, and Octaves would like to be the exception. We have some challenges, as I said, but also we have some advantages. The first one is that Octaves owned the company. He was able to fund the company 2 years ago, and we were able to increase our investment and to be able to have all the cash to invest and to continue our growth, but it gives him the freedom to select his way. This is something where when you still own 80% of the company, that you are able to continue to grow even so. Of course, there are challenges. Today, we are, and Octave said that he wants to reach 1 billion around 2020, 2021, and we hope to achieve that. It will be certainly a turning point to go to the next level, which will allow us to continue this incredible lead story.
One of the challenges that we have in Europe is skills. As a European company, where you're drawing on staff from different countries around the whole continent, how much of a challenge is that for you, not just in finding people with skills, but then retaining them?
It's a challenge, clearly, if you compare to China, India, US, where you have numerous engineers, young and talented people. Europe certainly has a challenge, and surprisingly, because you have also a very active startup industry, you have an internal very challenging. So you don't have a lot of engineers, you don't have a lot of developers, and at the same time, you have a lot of startups. And so the competition to attract and retain talents is, even marketing, is pretty difficult. What we try to do is, first, Octave's vision is that customer and people are at the heart of the strategy of the company. And so people for him is something where we believe makes the difference of the company. Some people say client first, we say client and people first. We try to give also the capacity to all our employees to really to have good projects, enthusiastic project, most of the time innovative project. And I do believe that if we have the capacity always to give to these people perspective, innovation, and to be at the edge of the technology, and to be sometimes making mistakes, and to have the right to make mistakes, we will be able to retain people long term.
If we look at the culture challenge, we've seen American companies, Chinese companies, Japanese companies come into Europe and they treat Europe as if it's a single culture. It's not. Not only are you having to grow the company by dealing with multiple cultures across your home continent, you've then got to address what are complex cultures outside as you seek to become a worldwide player. How difficult is it to create product streams and to create a corporate strategy that is easily adapting to all of those, but without having to have individual differences between the regions?
It's a challenge, it's clear. As you said, it's a challenge on the product side, it's a challenge on the marketing side, it's a challenge on the go-to-market side. It's a challenge also on the cultural of the employees. With Octave, we always say that we need to think globally and really to think this as a worldwide market. and keep the autonomy locally to be able to act locally. We believe that the right balance is very difficult to find, is very difficult to manage, but that will be the recipe of the success. The capacity to have worldwide product, because the APIs are worldwide, and we will not invent a French OpenStack. We will not invent a French or a German or a UK. But the way we implement, the type of partnerships, the relationship we have with partnerships in Germany, in UK, in Spain, and Italy might be slightly different on strong common basis. And that's the reason why we position ourselves as the European leader of the cloud with a worldwide footprint. This is definitely a sort of DNA of OVH.
How do those relationships deal with business differences and national government differences? If we look at Germany, we have a lot of pressure on for data to not leave Germany at all. If we look at the UK and we look at other European nations, they've been happy to have data stored wherever the business needs it to be stored. But if you're managing that for people, of course, you have to be able to track, identify, and give them the tools to control. That's only going to be a situation that gets worse as we look at the legislation coming up from different regions. How do you begin to plan for that, and how do you execute on that?
It's a very, very important point, because we do believe that the way the data will be managed from a legal standpoint, and after from a physical, when I say physical, it's virtual, but a physical standpoint, will be something which will be the key for the industry. We see that today in each country there is a sort of battle between keep the personal data, really privacy, something as a value, but at the same time, because of security and all type of crime, there is a tendency also to say, I want to have access to the data. We see that each country tries to answer to this complex debate differently, US, Europe. We need to adapt. And our position is to say we want to be compliant. And we want to be compliant locally each time we have a local place. That's the reason why we have local operations in the US, in Canada. We have local operations in Europe. And we are compliant in Europe with GDPR, because this is what we believe we should be. At the same time, we give the choice to our customers. That's the reason why, for example, you can select where you want to put your data. In our manager, you say, I want to put my data in Germany, in UK, in France, in Canada, or even in US. And we try to give all the information for the customer to understand what will be the consequences of putting this data at this level. Because, as you said, locally, legal, and sometimes culturally, there is a different way of viewing how we can store or manage the data.
If we look at the US operation, you put that in place specifically to separate out the data, to separate out the legal side of the company so that you could deal with certain legislation that was in place. If we take a wider view as you begin to address Asia, we have some very strong legislation in Singapore. We're seeing China bring on its own legislation that will be not too dissimilar to what Germany has done. And we've seen Australia now bring in a law just before Christmas over encryption that's going to make life incredibly complicated. How do you see yourselves moving into that? Will they be very similar, say, to the US model, or will they be still part of the worldwide plan?
Honestly, I don't know how the local regulations will move. I think it's more a political question than a technical question. What we decided is that we will be compliant each time locally, technically, and it's more than only a legal thing. It's operational. If you take the US, for example, the people who are able to access to the data in the US, even so they are not in the US, are isolated from the rest of the company. Because we want that there is a really completely isolated operational way of doing the thing. And you mentioned Australia. We have a data center in Australia, and they are moving towards encryption. They are moving to the same. We'll be compliant. What we'll do is we'll give to the customer the capacity to say, do I want to have my data in Australia, in Singapore, in Germany? And they will select if they are worldwide. If they are an Australian company, of course, they will be also under the Australian law, and this is above our own competency.
Will you take that operational independence that you gave the US and perhaps look at some other regions around the world?
Today, we don't have to do that in Europe to the legislation. As far as I understood, in Australia, it's not the case yet. We don't have data centers in China, so I will not comment on that. If some countries are deciding to move to a little bit like the US type of things, of course, because we believe that our customer deserves to have the capacity to have the extension, they will select at the end what they want. If you are a European company and you want to have all your data to be under GDPR, you can with our solutions.
One of the struggles for large enterprises is they want to put their data in the cloud, but they're not really sure how to put their data in the cloud. So we've got a lot of companies trying to run a very complicated hybrid environment where they have slow links to the cloud. They're really not sure where data should sit. They don't know how to deal with other business units around the world. How are you beginning to engage with companies to reassure them that moving their data into your cloud is going to be safe? That you can do the latency and the security and the speed of applications that they want?
First, OVH has some specificities in the cloud area. And one, independently of the fact that we are a pure player, that we are integrated, is that we offer the full set of services in the cloud. Public cloud, hybrid cloud, private cloud, and we master all these technologies. We are not only a public cloud operator, we can provide that. We are able to have a full Swiss knife of solution in terms of cloud hosting, APIs, software tools, to allow the customer to customize the solution using OVH. That's the first point, to say that we do not believe there is a unique way of solving this issue for each customer. I think it depends on, of course, how the customer is organized, what was the old premises systems, cultural points also internally, how is the IT is dealing with the new technologies. We do believe that we need to give, again, freedom of choice. That's the reason why we are one of the major players still doing all these things. The second point I want to mention is that we also rely with partnerships. We do believe that we do not intend to master all the value added to the end customer. We are an infrastructure player. That's our business model. We provide the tools for the customer and user or for the partner to tune and customize with their own solutions the capacity to provide the best solution for the customer to migrate, to extend, because there are many scenarios we can be really envisioned with all tools we provide. The full set of products and the partnerships with integrators, PaaS, SaaS partners to be able to provide systems to the customers.
How do you begin to select those partners? If I look at the ERP market at the moment, we're seeing a bit of a shakeout, and we're finding that many of the key resellers are moving away from somebody they might have been with for 10, 15 years and taking along some of the new entrants. If we look at cloud, we're starting to see the same thing. We're seeing some of the smaller independent clouds being swallowed up. We're seeing the resellers out there who have been acting as consultants now starting to think about, well, do we put customers in this direction? Do we put customers in that direction? The same is true for SaaS players. They've got to think about where they host that data, where they host the applications, how do they get to the end users. What are you looking at in terms of strategy for increasing the number of partners you've got, but also increasing the breadth of services that they deliver?
You remember maybe a few years ago we discussed a point which was hosting the hosters. It's still really ongoing right now. We do believe today that we have the infrastructure to allow these PaaS or SaaS providers to use our infrastructure. Maybe not only us, because we do not believe that monopoly is something which is long-term sustainable for anybody, for the customer, for the partners. We have solutions to help them. If you look at today, the roots of OVH, it's a little bit our business model. We are coming from the digital native players. This is the heart of the story of OVH. And many of our customers are SaaS, are PaaS, and they are sheltered or they are hosted by OVH. We see that definitely as the heart of our strategy to be able to provide to these suppliers the capacity to have the most flexible at the best pricing, predictable pricing, the capacity if they want to develop their own solutions and to be able to extend geographically and to select where they want to put their infrastructure due to the fact that we have this worldwide span. So this is how they are. But also we have new players like system integrators, where there they are building solutions for one end user customers. Also we have developed tools to help them to appropriate and to be able to have all the glue between all these Lego elements to be able to after customize a solution, especially for large enterprise solutions. So we try to have these two type of partnerships to be able to fulfill our customer needs.
If we look at the big players in the market, what has worked well for them is finding the traditional large software companies who are moving to cloud and persuading them that they don't want to build their own cloud, they want to operate on their public platforms. Where do you now start to compete in this space? Because you have a worldwide network, you have those high-speed internet links, you have those data centers. What you don't at the moment have is you don't have people like SAP or large database players coming to you and saying, can we host part of our SaaS solution on your platform? How do you break out of where you are and into that bigger market?
Today, you are in the summit and you've seen that we have launched initiative of OVH Enterprise and OVH Tech. Why we have launched these four universes, and I was mentioning two of them, is because we believe that the way we interact with partners, the way we interact with the customer will change. And that's the reason why we are modeling our new offers with these new universes to be able to address these sub-segments. We see a lot of traction today on the market on the OVH offer because we have a full set of things. We are a pure cloud player offering all that. We have gained recently during the last semester big names with partners where they were interested by the fact that we are able to address, of course, one unique database issue or one SAP issue. But at the end, we understood this is not really what they were looking for. They were looking for a long-term solution. How am I going to migrate my production from my on-premises to the cloud? And they don't want to separate by vendor and say, oh my God, SAP will be on this cloud and Salesforce will be on this cloud and this will be on this cloud. And how I'm going to monitor that? I'm going to have the overall frame. We try to give the chance to the customer to have an alternative when they can monitor their own model. And they are not, in fact, pushed by one of the software or SaaS supplier to have their data captured by a sort of hidden force or dark black hole. This is the way we position ourselves. It's certainly very different from some other big name strategy, but we see a little bit of interest and traction on this model.
You're very keen, as is Octave and everybody else, to talk about being an infrastructure company. One of the things that you have as an asset that you don't really talk a lot about is your network. You own an awful lot of dark fiber.
Yeah, we own it and we monitor it and we manage it and we have connection with major tier one IP players, and that gives a very strong advantage in the sense that we are able to provide bandwidth, latency, and a lot of capacity of flow.
But if I look at the marketing message from OVH, the fiber, the network, is completely hidden. In fact, I rarely see any conversation where that's talked about. As you move into the enterprise space in particular, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for a point of presence that gets them onto a nice, controlled, high-speed fiber where they're not competing with a lot of other people. How do you begin to expand that particular asset?
Oh, it's a good point, and I take it as an advice. So we need to really improve that, because each time I discuss with a large customer, I say we have four bubbles: compute, network, storage, and services. For me, they are completely interconnected, and for each of them, we have differentiators and we have attributes. And network, as I mentioned, is one of them. It means that we are not doing that as well as we should, and I take that as advice, and I will certainly ask the team to work better and to promote much better than we do our network. I'm convinced that the four bubbles that I'm mentioning, for example, one in the services security, where we have very strong expertise also, compute, network, storage, and services, and especially services like security or monitoring or this type of disaster recovery systems, etc., is something where we want to promote them as the capacity for OVH to have all the bricks, all the Legos, but really interconnected. And network, clearly for us, and Octave mentioned many times, that is something where we do believe it's an advantage technically. It's also financially, we made the decision that the bandwidth will be unlimited. And so it's meant that your bill is predictable, which makes also changes in the way you want to predict the way you are going to expand your operations in OVH, because you can predict your bill on the bandwidth, which is not the case of many of the others.
How do you shift the balance of your customer base? OVH has grown substantially through a small to mid-sized business market. Clearly, the majority of the money is going to be in the enterprise market. It will enable you to expand into new areas, but those customers will demand more. They become more picky when it comes to the way services and SLAs are delivered. You're now at that point where you're having to take a step back and look seriously at that growth, because you've got a high value, high revenue stream, but you've also got a base which is solid, but it's not necessarily highly profitable because of having to compete with so many people at that bottom end historically. What's the strategy for shifting the company focus?
The first one is that we are expanding our product portfolio. Definitely the objective of OVH Enterprise is to be able to fulfill the enterprise market. We are developing a lot of new features. During the summit, we have announced our partnership with, it was a long-term partnership, but we have announced a lot of new initiatives in the VMware partnership on the SDDC and vSAN, HCX, where I think we are one of the leaders today worldwide in terms of technology and also even in terms of real data managed and transferred to the cloud. We are developing a lot of offers. Also, we are working on, and we have launched what we call a solution team in Europe, able to tackle these customers, large customers' issues. And so we have a dedicated team today in France and in Germany, and we are expanding now in UK, in Italy and Spain, able to discuss with this large enterprise and also to have the network of partnerships, because we won't do it alone. We will do it with partners to be able to address this market. It has been announced last year on the summit, and now we are in the road of moving forward and accelerating and investing. We have announced, for example, with Thales, which is a security system integrator, very big in the European defense. We have announced a few initiatives with partners. We have also big names references. Some they don't want to be quoted, but I can quote some of them. Société Générale, which is a big French bank, or Groupe Auchan. So these type of big names have selected OVH as their cloud provider. We have started with an offer, and now we have developed the go-to-market resources to be able, through partners and directly, first on Europe. In US, a little bit different, because the acquisition of Cloud Air was based already on the enterprise, and we will continue. So on the US, we will rather extend to the mid and small size of the enterprise market, but we are already present, and we have a strong presence in the enterprise market.
OVH has worked in 5-year blocks in terms of its planning and its strategy. You're now approaching the planning stage for the next block. Despite only just coming on board, I'm sure you've already got some ideas as to what you want. So where do you see OVH beginning to move for that period of sort of 2021 to 2025?
Octave already disclosed a few elements during the summit, so I will rephrase what he said. It's clear that today we have announced that until 2021, our objective is to reach 1 billion revenue, which is, as you said, a sort of ceiling for the European tech company. For us, it will be only a base. It will not be a ceiling. It will be really something where we will jump to the next step, to the next level. We are already preparing this next level. We are investing 1.5 billion from 2016 to 2020, and we will certainly between 2 billion and 4 billion in our plan for the next 5 years, extending that. This is something, and we will find the right way to be able to finance this growth. There are many opportunities for OVH from product standpoint, but also from a geography standpoint. We want to stay the European leader, but with a worldwide base, and there are new territories. We have already decided to launch the APAC, so we are now based in Singapore, in Australia, and it's growing very well and a very good momentum. We are going to announce a public cloud on the APAC in a few weeks. We are going to have a whole set of products available in APAC today for our customers. There are other regions where we are not present, South America, Russia, India, where we have a presence with an R&D center, but we don't have any infrastructure right now. So there are many, many ways today, technically, geographically, and from infrastructure standpoint, because we believe that today, due to our integrated model, we have the capacity to continue to provide to our customer innovative solutions. We will not lose our DNA of open source, disruptive innovations to surprise, in the right sense, our customers.
Michel, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very, very much.